Stay tuned now for Dr. Stephen Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Stephen Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Dr. Stephen Zelikoff, and welcome to another episode of Bone Talk. Today, our topic is going to be golf. Conditioning, practice, performance, the keys to injury prevention and better golf. We've got two guests today. One is Craig Thomas, the other Stephen Brissett. Stephen Brissett is a doctor of physical therapy and the clinical director of Ivy Rehab Hartsdale. He's certified by the Titleist Performance Institute, and Stephen has taken care of many of our patients and has done an unbelievable job, and besides being an incredible physical therapist, he also happens to be a really good guy. So, Stephen, thank you for being part of our show today.
Thank you for having me. Honored to be here.
Of course, and we also have Craig Thomas, who is the head golf professional at Metropolis Country Club. He was a 2021 Met PGA Player of the Year. He's competed in many PGA Tour events, and Craig actually held the course record at Bethpage Black up until 2019 when it was surpassed by Brooks Koepka, who went on to win the tournament. He's established a top golf program at Metropolis Country Club. He's been an incredibly generous individual and also a mentor to many, many players. And an incredible teacher. So we're really thrilled to have him as well on the show today, talking a little bit about the golf professional's perspective on golf. So thank you for joining the show today. Many people consider golf a low-level physical activity without much risk for injury. Many injuries can be caused by playing golf, however, including injuries to the ankle, elbow, spine, knee, hip, and wrist. There was a study which was published in one of the journals that showed that basically up to 50% of amateur golfers get injured every year, and the lifetime, the risk of golf-related injuries for amateurs can be as high as 70%, which is a really, really, really concerning figure. I think that it said that amateurs tend to play to condition and professionals condition to play. So in the interest of getting our amateurs into better shape to go out there and play golf and to avoid injuries, Steve, can you tell us a little bit about what your thoughts about injury prevention, warming up, conditioning prior to playing, and also tell us a little bit about your experience in the Titleist Performance Institute?
Absolutely. I think the key to, you know, getting an active warm-up when you're preparing to golf or, you know, trying to stay in golf shape as we kind of get into the spring, transition to summer when golf really picks up is this idea of flexibility versus mobility. Everyone knows how to stretch and has learned how to stretch one form or another at some point in their life, stretching their hamstrings, you know, stretching their lat muscles, different muscles that, you know, you hear about from friends when you're golfing. Oh, you really got to keep this muscle loose in order to, you know, avoid injury. But the true key is the mobility aspect. And the difference between the two is flexibility is stretching a muscle, lengthening a muscle when there's no weight or force through that muscle. So, in other words, a passive stretch where mobility, on the other hand, is moving a joint or a muscle through its range of motion in a loaded form. And as we know, golf is obviously a loaded activity where, you know, you're standing up, you're transmitting force, you know, starting from your feet all the way through your hands and through the club. So, you know, figuring out the way, and there's definitely many professionals you can reach out to, physical therapists, pros, that can kind of show you drills to work on the mobility you need from the ankle, knee, hip, spine, even, you know, shoulders, elbows, wrists, to work through that in a loaded position is the best way to, you know, kind of prepare yourself to do multiple swings over the course of a round and to make sure that you're able to control everything in the proper form, so that you can, you know, decrease your risk of injury. And the great way that TPI helps with this is, you know, from a pro's perspective, they are much, much better and have a lot more practicing experience analyzing a swing from technique standpoint. What kind of, you know, deviations you're showing from a good sound fundamental swing. And TPI does a great job of bridging the gap from that aspect of a swing analysis to the healthcare professional's aspect of a swing analysis, in that, it kind of shows you, okay, you know, say Craig sends me someone to work on. He says, yeah, they have a lot of early extension. You know, I've gone through all the movement patterns with them, but it's just not working. I'll know to look at their hip range of motion, knee range of motion, ankle range of motion, and know that all of these can contribute to that golf deviation in a swing, and take kind of a healthcare practitioner's approach to improving mobility in a loaded position, so that when they go back to Craig for the next lesson, now they're not being restricted from an anatomical sense, and they can, you know, respond better to cue and technique improvements.
Now, Craig, are you with us yet? Or? So I don't know if Craig is able to get it there. As far as, you know, one of the things we found is that when you look at the biomechanics of the golf swing, and there's so many different components, and exactly what you were saying, Steve, is that a lot of what we found is that, you know, everybody thinks about the swing as being this big, huge, impactful motion, and it is. It's as you sort of coil and uncoil as you're going ahead and through the process of actually hitting the ball. But so much of that sort of also occurs before you ever move and even touch the ball, and that you're set up focusing on the balance that you have in your legs and your balance and your approach to sort of controlling your space. And, you know, there's different lies, there's different positions. And I think that that's one of the things that really is really, really important, is getting people to focus on balance. And one of the challenges that I think we found, particularly in patients that I've treated that have had hip and knee replacements and that have arthritis, is that one of the challenges that they tend to lose a lot of that is that balance. And I think that having them focus on activities to try to regain that, both being able to just look at the ball and also being able to go ahead and try various activities, even using a bar in front of a mirror or various things. What are the things that you've sort of worked on towards that, Steve?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I know I've worked with some of your patients specifically coming off, you know, knee hip replacements. That balance is huge, especially because, you know, the golf swing is initiated by a slight transition from, you know, weight evenly distributed slightly to your back, and then obviously progressing to the front as you swing through the ball. So, yeah, I like to work on I like to do a balance with other upper extremity activities, because obviously during a golf swing, you know, you're not focusing on your balance. You're worrying about, you know, coordinating all these different movements at one time. So I like to do a lot of single leg stability exercises on unstable surfaces with upper extremity distractions, whether it be a ball toss, them playing catch with me, you know, having to catch a tennis ball in one hand when it's bouncing, just working on single leg stability with an upper extremity distraction, whether, you know, or task, is what I've seen to, you know, relate well into the golf swing. And then once you've kind of had them work on each individual leg and working on balance from that aspect, I like to kind of bring it all together with a medicine ball toss. You know, obviously it's not exactly the same swing as a golf swing, but it kind of initiates that whole idea of coiling and then uncoiling, and I try to cue for some things like glute activation and you know, staying low through the ball, not avoiding early extension, and all that really relates to, you know, creating a good balanced golf swing that is going to be reproducible and hopefully prevent any injuries or overuse of any specific joint in the body.
So, Steve, given that at this point we're just starting, people are finally, the weather's getting nicer, and people are just starting to get outside and start working out and starting to play golf again. Can you tell us some recommendations that you have in terms of activities that they should just go out there, and before they get and hit that first ball, in terms of their strengthening, both aerobic as well as strength training, and things that people can do to sort of keep themselves healthy so they don't get into that trouble where they go out and they play 36 holes the first day out and then they're miserable for the rest of the season?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, walking, improving your walking endurance is definitely one way to do it. Obviously, throughout a golf round, you're going to walk a lot. And it's not just the idea of, you know, improving your ability to tolerate walking, but it's improving that endurance so that, you know, as you get to those last holes, you know, if you're playing 18 or 36, you know, you're not getting fatigued to where your swing's suffering because you're overall fatigued from, you know, if you're walking or even if you're in a cart, you know, just, you know, that repetitive swing motion really does wear on you. And I think, you know, I'm going to kind of sound like someone, you know, everyone always hears about the hips and the golf swing, but it really is important to have good pelvic control and pelvic mobility. The golf swing initially, you know, starts from the ground, but a lot of that force transmission is through your hips, and, you know, working on your ability to, you know, dissociate your hips from your upper body and your lower body really improves, you know, the sequence of the golf swing, the effort of the golf swing. It takes a lot of strain off your lower back specifically, but also the knees as well. As we, you know, a lot of people know, the knees are really mostly supposed to avoid any sort of rotational force. So getting your hips moving, being able to stand in the golf position with like a 9-iron and working on pelvic tilting and rotating your hips separate from your body can really kind of loosen up your body and allow you to make a more effortless swing, so that, you know, you're not, you know, trying to hammer the ball or putting a lot of force through your knees, you know, putting some torsional force on the meniscus and causing problems down the road. Just hip mobility is really, really important.
Now, theoretically, I mean, you shouldn't even be moving your lower back very much, I guess, during the golf swing. I mean, most of it should really be coming from the hips in terms of the pivot and the shift, and it's an upper body, and then your pretty much your lower body, essentially, which occurs at the pelvis primarily.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
When you sort of break up the biomechanics of the golf swing, if you sort of look at the setup, the address, the backswing, the transition, the downswing, all the way through the impact and the follow-through, where do you see the most common parts of the swing that lead to injury?
I got to go back to that early extension. According to TPI, 64% of golfers early extend. And that's kind of like if you're setting up in your golf position and you were to take a picture down the line, that's, you know, the line that goes from your backside down to the ground, it's kind of like a wall behind you. A lot of golfers come off of that wall very early. And what that does is that shuts down your facet joints very, very early, the smaller joints in your back. And that puts a lot of strain on those, and that's kind of, you know, where a lot of golfers, especially in the beginning of the year when everyone's putting in those long range sessions where, you know, they're swinging and swinging and swinging, if you're just shutting down that facet joint over and over again, you know, you're looking at some stenosis potentially, some facet arthritis. And as every, you know, golfer who has that back pain knows, that's a tough habit to break and a tough injury to shake. So that's where, you know, working with your local golf professional to make sure your swing is sound and working with your physical therapist to make sure you have, you know, your hip mobility, your hip strength, and your ability to kind of stay in that initial position without getting out of it too early and leading to an extension of the lower back. It's going to really keep you healthy throughout the season. Because the ramifications of doing that early extension over and over and over again on your back are more than just interrupting your golf game, but it could lead to, you know, injuries that'll last a long time.
Do you think that most of ball distance comes from strength, or do you think it comes more from flexibility?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly mobility and the coordination of the golf swing. If you watch the best players in the world, they're obviously the best players for a reason, but they look like they're, you know, putting almost no effort forth because they're just very efficient with their movements. There's no wasted energy. Everything's transmitted from the ground all the way up to their hands. So, yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head with that, and that it's not about how hard you swing. It's coordinating everything well, having the mobility to where every body part can work in the way it's supposed to, and the energy is all transmitted, you know, from the ground through the club.
No, I absolutely agree with that. I think that's the it always amazes me is that particularly if you watch the LPGA and you watch smaller women that, you know, weigh 100 pounds are hitting the ball farther than, you know, these 6'5", you know, guys that, you know, can crush the ball. But, you know, it's just effortless. And I think that it's the finesse that gets involved with that and the flexibility that really gets involved with the distance that you tend to see on a lot of balls. Obviously, at the PGA level, the technique has gotten to the point where the balls go so far. But I think that it's really making that effortless swing. And that also gives you longevity. I think that's the biggest problem is I think that most amateurs tend to hit the ball too hard. They stiffen up, and they have bad technique, and that's where you get a lot of injuries. What do you see the most common injuries in golf?
What's the most common
thing that you tend to find?
Yeah, it's usually the hips and the knees. I mean, it's because, you know, our hips – everyone, if I have someone lay down on the table and I check out their hip range of motion, for the most part, their joint can move generally through the full range, but it's just being able to, you know, do that in a loaded position. And unfortunately, that's not usually the case. They don't have a good job, especially in the backswing. You really got to explore that right hip or trail hip internal rotation to load up the glute to produce a nice, good, smooth swing. And unfortunately, there's a little to no loading of that glute. And as a result, we have a lot of sliding of the hips and maybe too much sliding, and that can put a lot of strain on the hip joint. So it's, and then the knees end up, you know, trying to make up for that lack of internal rotation at the hips, where they're, you know, going into a little bit of valgus, where your knees kind of coming, you know, more towards your midline and rotating in a way it's not supposed to. So the knees really do take a good hit if you aren't, you know, as mobile as you should be. You know, I mentioned the back, but the knees also, right, because of their anatomy.
I mean, I think what I tend to see in the office is, you know, obviously a lot of people come in with lower back pain, you know, after golf, and they tend to get stiff. And a lot of times it's unclear as whether it's the chicken or the egg, whether these are folks that have bad backs to begin with and want to go out and play golf. And, you know, they're bad swing mechanics and they're over swinging, and the torque that they're putting on their lower back is giving them sort of lower back pain. And I think that's really where we found physical therapy to be very, very helpful in terms of working on flexibility, and then also working with their pro to try to improve their form, because I think that also makes a big, big difference in terms of trying to get better. You know, I think that towards what you were speaking about before is, you know, again, I see a lot of people that have, you know, we do hip replacements or knee replacements, or people that have knee arthritis or may have had a meniscal injury. And I think that one of the things that, you know, the torque, particularly on the forward leg, usually puts a lot of stress on their new joint. You know, historically, when somebody comes to me and we've done a hip replacement on them, I usually try to tell them to sort of hold off on terms of golf probably about 6 to 8 weeks, and then usually at about 6 weeks I'll let them start putting and working on their chipping and their short game, and I usually go ahead and I let them go ahead and add about a club length a week after that until they get more comfortable with their game. We certainly want people back playing, because I think that it's good for their social lives, it's good for their head, I think it's good for their aerobic conditioning, and I think that's very, very important that we get patients back to their game, particularly if there's something that they're passionate about. But the thing I try to tell them is to, again, ease back into it, warm up a little bit beforehand. Again, focus on balance. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges in terms of positioning yourself properly. Make sure that you have good footwear, that you're safe in terms of not slipping, because I think that's one of the challenges, particularly if you've had a new hip replacement. You don't want to slip and run into a fall or run into a problem. But I think that the other piece that people talk about, and I'd be curious to know what your thoughts about this, is that people talk about externally rotating their forward leg a little bit to unload the joint a little bit. Have you been recommending that, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good way to, you know, take some of the strain off. It also helps you to kind of get your hips through a little more, too, as far as technique goes. But, yeah, I definitely agree, especially because, you know, if you're working on a new joint and you're trying to get the swing back, you really don't want to be, you know, internally rotating hard into that new joint. But, yeah, even before pre-injury, sometimes that can be a way to take some of the strain off the hip and the knee and allow you to really open up your hips and have a good fluid golf swing. And I think the other part, and, you know, I'll throw this one back to you after too to see what you think, but that transition, I think that's key after a hip or a knee replacement, is the weight-bearing activities and working towards, you know, strengthening and a weight-bearing technique, because a lot of times, you know, the patient says, you know, I want to be able to tie my shoes, so we're working on hip flexion, and sometimes it needs to be done on the table or whatever that may be, just so they're able to, you know, work in that range of motion. But the key is really that transition to weight bearing and then rotation through weight bearing. So as far as your patients, you know, I've worked with some before, but what do you kind of give them as a guideline of, you know, all right, now you can start doing more single leg stuff, more weight bearing. Is there any sort of precautions you warn them of when they're making that transition, or is it just kind of, you know, as tolerated, do what you think you feels all right for you?
I try to evaluate everybody individually in terms of where they are and how flexible they tend to be. Ultimately, I don't really have precautions. Usually after a month or two, we usually don't have any precautions for them. So we let them squat. We let them, you know, do whatever pretty much is comfortable. And just tell them to sort of use their body as a guide. I mean, it's, you know, I think that in terms of the motion that they tend to have, the most important thing is to ease back into your sport. And I think that if you find that, you know, you're just getting back from an injury or you're getting back from an operation, make sure that you're doing it slowly and in a way that sort of minimizes inflammation. I think if you're going to go out for the first time and play, maybe even take some Advil, if that's okay, beforehand to keep the inflammation down. Icing is still super important. And I think that if you think about a professional athlete, one of the benefits professional athletes have, they have trainers, they have people that work with them on a daily basis to make sure that they regain their mobility and achieve the excellence that they need to as far as their sport. I think that for the amateur athlete, I think having the ability to find a physical therapist or somebody that work with you to train you to get you back to that is the same. And I think that utilizing the resources available to you to get to that point make a huge difference, especially if you think about particularly in somebody with a bad hip. One of the challenges that people tend to have with hip arthritis is that they lose rotation before the surgery. So they can't rotate their leg, which is why it's hard to put on your shoes and socks, cut toenails, things like that. After the surgery, you can now start doing those things, but they're not going to be intuitive. So working with a physical therapist to try to regain that flexibility is huge. Also, because those muscles don't move before the surgery, a lot of them are weaker, and there's the hip abductors, which are the muscles that sort of elevate your leg and move it sideways, particularly one of the big muscles, the gluteus medius, which works on stabilizing your pelvis, super important in golf in terms of making sure that you have the balance needed to go ahead and hit the golf ball properly and maintain your positioning. So I think that all that's super important in terms of making sure that you can get back to that safely. And if you can get back to it, hopefully you can get back to playing very, very good golf. There's a lot of athletes that have gone back, professional athletes that have had hip replacements and knee replacements, and have gone back on the tour and been very, very successful. So I think just because you've had arthritis, you've had an injury, doesn't mean that you can't go back and play very, very successful golf. One of the other things that I just want to touch base is golfer's elbow. People talk about that all the time, or medial epicondylitis. Can you tell me a little bit about what your thoughts in terms of avoiding it and treating it?
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a lot of times that specific injury is, you know, there's range of motion implications from the wrist, elbow, and shoulder. But the main one that I see with that is the, usually someone will say, I had a patient the other day who had that from playing in the simulators, and they had no problem until they had one miss hit where the club hit the ground extremely hard, the vibration went through, and then from there, you know, they had trouble holding a coffee cup and everything like that. So the big thing with the epicondylitis is if you're not striking the ball well, if you're coming in very steep, there's usually other problems related with your swing or your mobility that are causing you to, you know, have poor contact with the ball or really good contact with the ground before the ball, and transmitting that force right up to your elbow. So, you know, what I usually tell people once I kind of do a little bit of, you know, range of motion, I'll do wrist extensor, flexor strengthening, specifically finger extension strengthening. And then I really encourage them to go, you know, to their local golf professional and get some tips on, you know, coming through with a good swing plane, coming at a good angle, and making sure they're making solid contact with the center of the club face so that, you know, they're able to get a more efficient swing and they're not making so much force, so much vibration up through their arms. Because that's really, you can do a full, you know, bout of PT, get your, you know, pain levels down, and it just takes one bad contact to kind of set that injury off again. And then that tendon is very sensitive for a while. You have to kind of load that tendon again to so it can recover. It can be a very frustrating injury. So the biggest thing that you can do for longevity is getting to your local golf professional, finding out, you know, what you're doing technique-wise to cause such a steep swing or a poor swing plane, and making better, cleaner contact with the ball.
That's a great suggestions. And also, we've also recommended things like, you know, squeezing a tennis ball and things like that, and, you know, the off season and doing wrist curls and what have you, to go ahead and try to keep your muscles strong and limber so you tend to avoid running into a problem. So in the last couple of minutes, I just want to sort of just make a final just a request for everybody. Make sure that you maintain proper nutrition on the golf course. Make sure you drink plenty of fluids. Stick to things like water and low-sugar sports drinks. Avoid alcohol because it can dehydrate you. Make sure that, you know, if you need something to eat, have a protein bar. So avoid that bacon cheese sandwich. It's probably not going to be great for your golf game. And just have fun. I think that the most important thing is that, you know, it's a great game. It's very satisfying. It can be frustrating, obviously, for all of us who play, but it's something that it provides great joy, and there's nothing purer than when you hit the ball great and you can make that big putt. But, again, just be careful, and at the beginning of the season, particularly if you've had an injury or if there's something that you're working through, make sure that you speak to your medical professional beforehand. Reach out to a physical therapist to make sure that you get the support that you need to get back onto your game. And don't let pain be your handicap. Again, I'd like to thank Stephen Brissett for joining me today on Bone Talk. I hope everybody has fun out there and enjoys the upcoming golf season.
And thank you again for having me. It was a pleasure.
Of course, Stephen. If you can just want to share with everybody how they can reach you if they need to get a hold of you.
Yeah, so if anyone has any questions or wants to reach out for a golf swing analysis, you can email me at my email address, steven.brissette@ivrehab.com, or call our clinic directly at 914-428-9698.
Perfect. Thank you again, Stephen. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.